Hello? All right. Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our annual Parents' Breakfast, which is really everybody's breakfast. I'm really impressed by how many people manage to get up and out and be here at 7 in the morning on a Saturday morning, especially after everybody was up late last night at Idol. So welcome, and we traditionally have a breakfast at convention that we call the parents' breakfast because we really try to focus on program events that might be of particular interest to parents of blind and visually impaired kids. And I presume this is also streaming for the folks who aren't able to be out and about this early. Okay, we're live. This is good. Thank you, Byron. So I'm Debbie Stein. Most of you know me. I have been coordinating parents' activities for the NFB of Illinois for a great number of years. I won't even try to think about how many. And I would like to start off the program by introducing our national representative from the National Federation of the Blind, James Gashel. He serves as Secretary of the NFB, and he has a long history of being involved with governmental affairs and now with technology, which I know he's going to tell us a bit more about. He chuckles. He's sitting here chuckling. But he's going to talk this morning about growing up with low vision and also being the parent of a low vision child. So he's kind of looked at the issue from both ends. And
okay, thank you very much, Debbie, and especially thanks to all of you for being here. I'm sure it wasn't just the breakfast that got you here. And I know it wasn't the singing that got you here. We're actually, this weekend, we're shattering stereotypes. They think the blind can sing. So we're actually trying to I'm still in my Simon role. We're actually trying to destroy that myth. And we did a really good job of it last night. Well, growing up blind. Wow, that is a big subject. You know, growing up blind has changed in my lifetime, and I guess in all of yours while we're on the subject. In one way of looking at it, it used to be pretty simple. At least where I lived, it was pretty simple. I didn't live that far away. It was in Iowa, not Illinois. Could have just as well been Illinois. I'm glad it was Iowa, by the way. I know. But it was simple. Of course, I look at this from the point of view of being the blind child, not the parent of the blind child. I don't know if it was simple for the parents because they never talked about it. We didn't in Iowa. We don't talk about anything much. I'm not sure what they do in Illinois. I don't think they talk about too much in Minnesota either. Well, on some subjects, yes. But in Iowa in those days, and I think it was pretty much true wherever you were, if the child was blind, you sent him away to a school. The state had a school, and that's where you sent him. That was pretty simple, and then you would assume that the school is just going to take care of this problem because you didn't know what else to do. There was just nothing, no knowledge about what else to do except, well, here's a place where you can send them. This is not cruel, understand. This is the norm. This is the way it's done. It must have been hard for my parents, you know, I was 4 years old. And they dropped me off in Vinton, Iowa at the School for the Blind. It must have been hard. It was hard for me for about 30 seconds or so. You know, until you're out on the playground, and then the whole idea of being dropped off at the School for the Blind, you know, just sort of goes away, and you're having fun. And there was nothing oppressive about the School for the Blind, except one thing. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Now just think about that a second. And at the School for the Blind, you learned the difference between the partials and the totals. Okay, so I mean, as an adult, I've come to realize that it's only really cars that get totaled. I didn't realize that people got totaled, but we used to talk about it that way at the School for the Blind. You had the partials and the totals, and this was the class system at the School for the Blind. Now, understand that it wasn't mean. Maybe it was mean if you were one of the totals. I wasn't. I was a higher dog, I guess, or something. I don't know. There was the difference. We could take the rest. The difference between the partials and the totals. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man, you could say the one-eyed man or woman, we used to say man because we were sexist back then. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. Okay? Yeah, I cleaned it up for the quote. But that's what it is. Now, this is a philosophy about blindness. And it is one of the prevalent philosophies about blindness. People aren't trying to be cruel, but it's just what people think about blindness. And that philosophy was as prevalent at the School for the Blind as it was anywhere else in the world. That should be a shocker, but it isn't. It should be a shocker. Because think about it. The School for the Blind, those are the people that know about the blind. And you know, in our way of thinking, they ought to have confidence in the blind. Well, but they don't. They did a good job, though, of helping us form the National Federation of the Blind. And you know, if you think about it, that's really the case, because they taught us what oppression was like and that we didn't want any more of it. And so consequently, a number of us, as we became adults, hooked up with the National Federation of the Blind, and we became rebellious. We didn't accept the philosophy that in the world of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. And we developed a different philosophy. And that philosophy was, it's been expressed in many different ways, but our current expression of it, and I think this one is a keeper, live the life you want. Now, nobody at the School for the Blind ever told me that. They didn't every day tell me the opposite. Not in so many words, but there were times when they did tell me the opposite in so many words. I remember And Debbie, you can stop me anytime you got to stop me, because you know the rest of the program and I don't. I just figure I am the rest of the program. So, there were times. I remember one time when I went off to a wrestling tournament. We used to wrestle schools for the blind and also other public schools in the area, but schools for the blind in different states. So we'd come and whoop up on Illinois. There were a couple of the guys from Illinois that we couldn't whoop up on, but most of them we could usually beat. Now, but I got back to the school. I had a job at the school. It was taking the food from one building to another, and you would take a cart, and you would actually, it went through a tunnel, and you could ride on the cart. If you jumped on the back of the cart, you just had to make sure you didn't lean the wrong way and hit the wall, especially with a load of soup on board. But we had this, I had that job. It was, and it paid me 40 cents an hour back in those days, and it was a really good job. You could not get that job if you were a total. Now, nobody ever said that, but I learned it one day because I went off to a weekend wrestling tournament, and I asked my friend Rodney, who happened to not be able to see anything else, so Rodney, how about you take the cart, and I'll just pay you what they're going to pay me when I get back. Well, I got back on Sunday night, and I went to settle up with Rodney, and he said, well, you don't really have to because they wouldn't let me take the cart. He said that when he went to the kitchen, the cook told him, no, you can't take that cart. And so he left. Well, when I went down to take the cart on Monday morning, the cook told me exactly what she told Rodney, except in maybe a little bit more stern terms. She said, don't you ever send that that kid or anybody else that can't see anything. Don't send one of the totals to do your job. And you know what? I accepted it. I accepted it. And in another version of this explanation, I apologized to Rodney publicly. So I'm going to just apologize to him again publicly. I'm sorry I accepted it. But you know, I the only reason I accepted it was I didn't know the National Federation of the Blind. I had no frame of reference other than in the world of the blind, the one-eyed, in the world of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. And the cook taught me that. The superintendent of the whole school taught me that 2 weeks before I was ready to graduate from high school. He asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I was about to grow up in 2 weeks. And he said, what are you going to be? And I said, well, I think I'd like to be a speech teacher, go to the State College of Iowa. That's what it was called then. And I was going to be a teacher and to teach speech. And he said, well, he knew a blind girl once in Florida, and she tried to be a teacher, and she couldn't. It was too big of a problem maintaining discipline in the classroom. So he suggested that I should be a speech therapist instead. Now, I swear I have no idea what public speaking and speech therapy have to do with each other, except they both use the word speech in what they do. But one of them, the person can't talk at all. And the other one, the person can probably talk too much. Well, but you know what? I didn't object when he said that. I didn't rabble-rouse or go off and talk to any of the other students about what I was, the counseling that I was receiving. And maybe the superintendent thought it was a casual conversation, but I obviously didn't, because I remember it to this day. But But that was because in that day I lived in the land of, in the world of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. Now, I got out of that land when I grew up, but not as a blind child. I didn't get out of that land. This comes to your responsibility if you are parents. If you let that happen, the child for whom you are responsible will be limited, restricted, and diminished. And let's just add in demeaned forever. So you have a big, big, big responsibility. But the state failed. You won't. You won't fail because you're here. Because, you know, my parents did not have this opportunity. They didn't have the opportunity to learn if you're blind, you can live the life you want. That's what you have that they didn't have. And you have a wonderful resource in the blind themselves, in the National Federation of the Blind. We can help you. We have a self-interested reason for helping you because we want a rising tide lifts all boats. We want your child to succeed, and we are self-righteous about it and self-interested about it because when your child succeeds, we succeed. So, you know, we're not doing this for altruism or anything like that. We're not just trying to be nice to you. We think that we benefit when you and your child benefits. That's the sensitivity and the understanding that we have today that we didn't have 40 or 50 years ago. So things improve. If there are two words, well, one word that I could leave you with this morning, it would be the word that wasn't spoken to me in the context of blindness 50 years ago. And that word would be believe. Believe. I mean, maybe there were other kinds of beliefs, but the context I mean believe is this. Whenever your instinct says, say no, when you're thinking about something around blindness, whenever your instinct says, say no, say yes. Just think about that. I've used that as an adult. After I learned better, once I hooked up with people from the National Federation of the Blind, and I found there were blind attorneys and blind book writers and blind teachers and blind, what have you, blind business people, blind politicians, even a blind doctor, Jacob Balaton. You should read the book. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. Read the book. But I learned that whenever you, because we all go to the negative, we think, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I thought that even after I come out of the adult orientation center and my speech coach in at University of Northern Iowa said, you ought to go out for the debating team. I went to the negative. I thought, how am I going to do that? I'm just trying to get through school here. Now she wants me to go out for debate and you know, be gone all weekend at these different schools debating and so on and so forth. The best thing I ever did, it helped me get at least one job. Maybe helped me get some others. I don't know. But I first went to the negative. To think, I didn't say, but to think, no. But I said, yes. And that's what I want you to do. Whenever you're thinking about, you know, can the child do this, can the child do that, or the child says, I want to do this or I want to do that, and you say, oh, no, that's going to be so hard. Think yes. Raising a blind child. Well, it's the same thing. I have a daughter who doesn't see very well, and she lives in... Well, she probably thinks she sees better than she does, but she lives in Wisconsin. I just want to tell you, when you get the news that you're going to have a child that is blind, it's no easier when you are a blind parent. You're already blind. It's no easier than when you're a sighted parent hearing that news, I don't think. You don't just stand up and say, whoopee, I know how to handle it with this kid. No, because you know that he or she is going to have to go through all of the challenges that you had to go through, plus meeting the challenges of the rest of life. But you are encouraged by the fact that you do have resources that other parents don't have. And that's really where I want to leave it. You're so fortunate in that however it happened, you came upon the National Federation of the Blind. And you will help yourself and your child by passing that word along. So... this room is not big enough next year for the parents because there are more of them. And I promise you, Denise and Patty and Debbie will find bigger rooms when you bring more parents. Thank you very much.
Am I there? All right. Thank you so much. That was great. Does anybody have any quick questions for Jim before we move on? No questions? Okay. Well, questions, comments? Sure. Do you want the mic?
I'm Kathy Randall. Ignorant one, because I didn't know Braille. I didn't have the opportunity.
Here's one that's working.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I didn't have the opportunity at all to learn Braille as a kid. I went to a sight-saving room, and we didn't save any sight, and we wasted a ton of time. Didn't learn squat. Okay. Went out from the resource room to other classes where we learned a lot, and that was fine, but no Braille. I needed Braille. I didn't know it. My parents didn't know it. Braille. Please, parents, this is just essential. I learned Braille in my 30s. I want your kids to learn Braille from the time they're little, right on, can learn Braille and print at the same time with no problem at all. And I wish that I'd had that opportunity. And I always get on this soapbox about the importance of Braille. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can I get that mic back? Great, thank you.
Okay, on the topic of Braille, there's another comment? Okay.
Question. Here, why don't you let me run the mic?
Oh, all right.
Here you go. You got it. Over here?
Right here. Hi, my name is Michelle, and I grew up as a visually impaired child as well. And like you were saying, I forget your name. Who just spoke? I'm sorry. Kathy. this was, you know, well, I guess I'll kind of reveal my age, you know, 45 years ago. My parents didn't know either. You know, I went to a school with a visually impaired that had a program for the, you know, just for the vision impaired students. And, you know, I didn't learn Braille either. So, you know, I don't know what will happen to my vision in the future if I do lose it. But what I can say is that I think that too much technology today is not good either, because, I mean, people are misspelling words. I think it's excellent to be able to read. Otherwise, you know, you can come across as being, you know, illiterate. I think it's important to know how to spell. You know, I read texts and, you know, things on the computer, and I see how many people misspell words because they, you know, they don't read. Technology does everything for us today. So I know that when I went to another, you know, another outing for, I believe it was down at the Lighthouse, the Braille Challenge, and some college students had come in and talked to the parents. And encouraged us parents to keep our children to keep reading Braille, because technology does fail. We all know that. So, you know, I can completely I completely agree with that. I was a bookworm when I was younger, and I just read large print, as I still do today. But again, if I do lose my vision, you know, it will be hard. It's harder to learn Braille as you get older. Is what I've been told. So my daughter's very, very good with Braille, and keep encouraging to have her read Braille. It's very important. So I just thought I would share that with you. Thank you.
On the topic, Bob, speak. It's about our.
Excuse me, Debbie. Can I? May I ask a question, or are you? Or are we done with questions now? My quick question is: how are we going to address the issue of the shortage of Braille teacher, and also putting Braille in the hands of more people, especially refreshable Braille devices, because they've been essential for me and my job for the past 25 years.
Okay, so the all right. The question of Braille devices is the one I want to speak to. Sometimes you wonder, you know, you give money to the National Federation of the Blind. Where does your money go for? The National Federation of the Blind became part of an effort started about 3 or 4 years ago called Transforming Braille. We put $250,000 into a worldwide project, which is funded at a little bit over about $1.3 million, I think, is the total, to promote and create a technology which has the promise of significantly reducing the cost of Braille. A Braille cell, that is for a refreshable Braille display that was mentioned, at one cell, one that makes one character in Braille, six dots, currently costs about $80 per cell. So it's just not, you know, it's, imagine you translate that into a 20-cell Braille display. Well, all you have to do is multiply 80 times 20, and you know, you're up to $3,000 just for the cells. So it's very expensive, and so you get charged a lot, and a lot of blind people can't afford to have a Braille display. Transforming Braille is going to change that. We expect to reduce the cost of Braille cells, because we're creating a new technology to make the cells. The cost of Braille cells will go down to less than $12. And so we're looking at the possibility a year from now of having 20-cell Braille displays available for $500 or less. And you talk about transforming Braille, this is going to do it.
That's great.
Okay. No, you turned it off again.
I don't
know. It's on.
It's on.
Okay.
It just goes on.
But it's not picking up.
Let me just speak. Phone is. I'm going to try just to ignore it and keep talking. Bob Gardner would like to speak to us for a minute or two. Illinois contest, which now has a new name and a new face. Okay, thanks.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, sort of. Anyway, yes, I'd like to speak. Boy, this is really turning into a real discussion about Braille, and it's really great. A couple of things I'd add to that. There's been surveys that show that of the people that are blind and employed, 70% of those are Braille readers. So that's how important Braille is. But we have a contest called Braille Readers or Leaders, and it's to promote children reading Braille. It's a contest where starting in December 1st, they read for 7 weeks, and they submit how many pages of Braille they've read. It's a very exciting program. We've done it. This will be the third year we've done it in Illinois. I think we, for the last 2 years, we were the only state out of the 50 that was running this contest. And the exciting news is this year we're joining with Minnesota. So this is expanding. And if you have any questions, I have some material over here that explains it much better. I don't want to stand up here and make this any longer than I have to. So if you are interested in this, come and see me, and I have some material I can give you. And I thought I would add one last thing to Jim's presentation. I'm retired now, but I was an engineer, and I am totally blind. Thank you. Oh, okay, the name of it? This year we came up with kind of a good name. It's no longer the Illinois Braille Readers or Leaders Program. Since we're joining with Minnesota, it's now called LOL Squared Braille Readers or Leaders. Okay, LOL Squared. Land of Lincoln, Land of Lakes. Isn't that cool? The people that came up with that ought to be congratulated. I couldn't. Yeah, it's also LOL. Yay. Yeah, lots of love.
Okay. Thank you. I believe, Bob, we have the applications. We have some of the application forms here.
They're out at the registration area.
No, what we have here is the...
Are they flyers?
They're the flyers, right.
Where to get the registration form.
Okay. Okay. And it's for students K-12. Okay. Our next presenter is Amy Lund. And Amy, for the past 3 years, has been the head teacher in our Illinois Bell program. This past summer, we actually had two Bell programs, and you'll hear more about that later in the day. But on the topic of low vision and... I hear this echo of me. It's
the stream, Byron walking.
Okay, a little disconcerting. I thought, am I over there? Am I over here? Where am I? Topic of low vision and blindness and the like. Amy is going to simulation of different low vision conditions. And I feel a little apprehensive about any kind of blindness simulation.
Gotcha.
Makes people feel so apprehensive that, wow, this has to be really difficult. happened, so I will pass this on to Amy.
All right.
And take it away.
Oh, what's going on? Well, that one's not working either.
I love my job, and I've been very fortunate to be paired up with the National Federation of Wine, specifically Illinois, 8 a.m. Some of the different eye conditions that I have, there's one with macular, there's field restrictions, there's cataracts, there's retinal detachments, there's hemisphere losses, all different varying degrees of acuity losses. So they're kind of just a mixed bag of whatever I threw into the goggles that you can try. But take out your agenda. Try reading with it. Say, yeah, this is hard, and I would rather read Braille. You can... Was that good, Kathy? think about if you still have food on your plate, how are you managing that plate and being able to fork and eat so that you can, you know, eat politely and not like the I'm glad you laugh at that. Like, I have to tell my students, like, okay, we got Fido here with me today and we're gonna adjust this. So just try to think about some of those things. If you have questions about the simulator that I put on your table, I can kind of clarify what it is, and then we can switch. And then if you do have questions, just kind of shout out. But this is more of an experience for you, but I wanted to give you a focus. It can be he asked if the retinal detachment is RP. It could be any varying degree of retinal detachment that occurs. So that's other conditions as well.
I apologize, you guys, for the microphone technical difficulties, which did not exist last night, so some gremlins snuck in here this morning. The singing broke my microphones. Look what you guys did.
So hemispheric loss is difficult, especially when you lose that lower hemisphere, because that's when you're viewing, like, you're walking and that sort of thing. That's where the cane comes in real handy. Is there anyone else that I don't know if you've seen all of them. Can just keep switching them around. Take another like 2 minutes, explore what's at your table with those, and then we'll kind of have some reactions. All right, I'm going to ask you to kind of bring it back in. I don't want to do my teacher thing and count down. I'm usually fortunate. I work typically one-on-one, so if I'm counting down, it's usually just to myself because they're either out the door or ready to go. So I just kind of want to, I can run around, but I want to get some reactions and even some of the students, you know, how do you feel having your parents have that experience or, parents, what are you realizing in terms of empowerment? Yes, young lady, here you go.
My name is Jalea Anderson. I'm totally blind, so I didn't get to use it, but, one of my main goals in life is to help people with disability adapt to people without and vice versa. And I just think this is amazing. Like I was just talking to Adrian. I just got so excited because in my social working business, I want to have tons of these and be like, okay, so check this out. See, like, cause I feel like a lot of it is ignorance and people don't understand what it is. So this would be so useful to help people learn to adapt and see like what it is to be low vision and not be afraid of interacting with people with it. So, yeah.
A lot of my students are on varying levels of the acceptance of their vision loss, and that's to be expected. They're you know, middle school, high school, hormonal, on top of everything else that's going on in their life. And so when they self-identify as visually impaired or low vision, I'm like, all right, that's cool, you're fine. You're blind, but we'll go with it for now. and getting rid of the stigma of blind and blindness and being okay and accepting that and very much so like the NFB believes, you know, it can be reduced to nothing but a nuisance as, you know, it's a characteristic, but it doesn't define them. And I think that's what we're kind of like trying to work toward in the whole scope of acceptance in that. So having things like these, you know, that acknowledges the sight they may have and that may be functional or useful and it may not, but then having the sight and being able to say, yeah, I have some sight. Thank you, Alex. But those non-visual techniques are going to be way more helpful for me in the long run. Any other reactions that I can? Yes, Christina, here you go.
Two things. One, I used to think that if my son had any vision for some point of his life, it might have been easier. Not after looking through those things. And secondly, I'm on, you know, Facebook groups with other parents of blind children, and, you know, usually the people you hear from the most are the ones that just found out or are having trouble at their school. And I can't believe how many TVIs and schools themselves, administrators, you know, say, oh, you know, you don't need a cane, or, well, you know, you get angry and you use your cane, so you don't, you know, we're going to take that away, or you don't need Braille, you have some vision. I swear, if you put those goggles on one of those people, and they had to wear them, I mean, I looked through them and I said, that's enough, I'm going to get a headache. But if any of those people had to wear those, they would not question giving Braille to a student that has low vision.
So while with you, I gave you know the nice focus of positivity and looking toward the importance of non-visual techniques. In my district, I use those simulators with paraprofessionals and other like classroom teachers that have some of our students, and my colleagues and I actually put them through like a sped up version of a day, and it's, oh wait, we got to go to gym, get in line, and we like rush them into line and usher them like along like they do some of our students, and like, oh okay, now copy this off the board, and we sit them in a desk and have them copy off the board with the simulators on, or all right, time to bathroom break, and we take them, and they're nauseous and sick, and they're rushed all over the place, to give them that sense of what they're doing to our student. Some, not, you know, I work with great people, but so they realize that they have to be like, whoa, we can't rush, like, we've got to give them their independence, give them their tools, give them their skills, so that they can do it on their own. And so it's not the time race that they can do it. And so, I did it in the nice way. We could have done that. Any other comments? I know they need to turn the room over, so I don't want to take too long, but I don't want to stifle the conversation. Anyone else? All right. Debbie, I think I wore them out.